interview with Jay Taylor last, conducted by David Brock in Beverly Hills, California, on the 21st of June, 2004. And as often with interviews, we should perhaps start at the beginning. And I believe that you were born in 1930, is that correct?
I was born the week the stock market crashed in 1929.
An auspicious beginning.
October 1929.
Okay.
And then, and I realized when I was 15 that the first 10 years of my life were depression and the next five were war. So there was nothing in my life that was normal.
To that point.
Up to that point.
And you were born in Butler, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
is that correct?
Butler, yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about the family backgrounds of your mother and your father?
Yeah, my father was German, and his father had immigrated from Germany as a boy, and they had a farm in western Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he had a number of brothers and sisters, none of whom finished grade school, except for him. He was the youngest, and by then they had enough people working on the farm, so he went on and finished high school and then went on and got a college degree at a small Lutheran college called Capital in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was one of the old Scotch-Irish settlers in Ohio.
Yeah, turn that back. Okay. You're talking about your mother.
Yes, and this is an old Scotch-Irish family. My great-grandfather was a congressman from Ohio, so this is going way back into the 1800s. So the family was well established there. And my mother went on and got a college degree from a small school in northern Ohio.
Is it a teacher's college? Or
no, it was called Lake Erie College.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very small lady, but she was very athletic, and while she was there, she beat some world's record for some ladies' hurdles or things like that. And then my father and mother met when they were both two of the three teachers of a small high school. Between them, they covered the whole curriculum. And so that's where they met. And then after they got married, my father didn't think he could support a family on a teacher's salary,
right,
which was pretty dismal in prospect.
Mm.
So he moved from Ohio, where they were teaching, to Butler, where they were just starting a new steel mill.
Okay.
And went to work there. And his planning didn't work out too well. The depression was very hard on our family.
Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, when he was working, I mean, the hours in the steel mill then were terrible.
Mm.
You'd work 12 hours a day, except Sunday. And one Sunday you had off, and the next Sunday you worked 24 hours. This was brutal. That ended abruptly with the depression, because and the depression was just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I know my father every morning would pack a lunch and go down to the steel mill, learn there was no job, walk back home and share his lunch with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And on. He told me one year he made $800.
Wow.
And so it was a rough, but growing up I didn't know there was anything else, and so I had a very happy, pleasant childhood. I was never hungry or clothed or anything.
Right.
And living in a small town, I've always liked hiking and walking and doing what little exploring I could do. And this was perfect for that. There was always woods and things I could go to. And I was never especially athletic, so I read a huge amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was in things like the Boy Scouts and all of that.
Right.
But no organized sports or anything like that.
What did your mother then? Did she continue to teach when?
No. It was pretty much a full time job being a homemaker.
Sure.
She canned an awful lot of the stuff we ate.
Right.
My father had a garden and grew lots of stuff. So she always canned delicious stuff. I mean, jams and jellies and berries and fruits, and we have a whole cellar full of stuff.
Were you, did you have siblings?
I have a younger brother, he's 5 years younger.
Right.
Yeah. Who got his degree in electrical engineering, got a master's degree, spent his whole career working for General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
He taught for a short period at Cincinnati, where he was taught at the University of Cincinnati, mm-hmm. for a short time. And he had, at that time, what I thought was just the ideal life. He taught in the daytime, at night he played a banjo in a very disreputable place in Covington, Kentucky, right across the river. So whenever his eyes glaze over, I know he's thinking about that. So he's worked in some very interesting projects at General Electric. He retired a few years ago and now spends his time playing golf down at Hilton Head and summer fishing in Binghamton, where he's been living.
Great. With Butler was a small town.
It was
at the time.
It was a small, maybe 30,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and very steel mill, some other heavy industry.
Mm-hmm.
Steel mill dominated the town. It was a coal mining area.
Right.
So there was a heavy Central European immigration into the town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pleasant place to go to find school. I had a good schooling. I learned to read real fast, and I've always been a very rapid reader. And I always started out the school session very excited. But by the end of the third week, I'd read everything we were going to cover that term. It got pretty boring before the year was out. So I just read anything and everything in the public library. It was a good library. I must have read most of the stuff there. I just read all the time.
Hmm.
And I would guess I'd learn as much on my own as I did in school.
With both your parents having been teachers, did they encourage that?
Very much, yeah. And we had an interesting thing. We'd have very leisurely dinners. And we'd sit around and sometimes just sit and talk for an hour after dinner. And it was unusual, and I realize now what a valuable thing that was.
And just talking about
general
experiences, general topics.
Topics and the... And I was always encouraged to, if I would use a word wrong, say, go look it up in the dictionary.
Right.
So I learned, got that habit of having a great respect for the English language.
And what, you were pretty promiscuous in your reading in the public library, but did you concentrate on anything?
It's anything that interested me. I read a lot of biographies and history. There wasn't that much science writing available then.
Sure.
So I read. There was nothing in that early writing that was, I would say, was pushing me toward technical things.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was always very interested in technical things. I remember I would build little electric motors and things like that, and have the occasional chemistry set or something like that.
Right. So was education and learning a sort of central feature of the home? A central expectation of your parents, do you think?
It was such an expectation. Something never arose. I would certainly go on to get educated.
Right. Right. And what about the place of religion in your home and in Butler? Was that a big factor?
It was a very religious town. It was
about
equally divided between the Eastern European Catholics and the German Protestants.
Right.
My father, would come as no surprise to you, was a Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
My mother that was a Presbyterian. My mother was a very feisty lady and didn't get along with the Lutherans very well. She sort of broke away from the church. So religion was never a big thing in our family. I was encouraged to learn about religion, but never pushed terribly hard.
Right.
I went to the Lutheran church on occasion, and I was struck at the time by the very negative aspects of Lutheranism as it was practiced in the German aspect of it. They're always fighting Luther's battle all over again. and it was always the negative aspects of somebody else rather than the positive advantages of your own religion. So I just broke away when I had the opportunity. And I, in graduate school, attended church once in a while with a roommate or something like
right.
that. But nothing...
hasn't been a
no,
and, big
and my wife is Jewish, and neither of us are practicing actively our religion.
Right.
Although she still has strong, very pleasant feelings about all the Jewish ceremonies, and I, once in a while, I'll participate in something like that.
Right. But from an early age, it wasn't a...
No, religion was never a major thing in our household.
And what you mentioned your early sort of electrical tinkerings and the occasional chemistry set, were these were those supplied by your parents, or were those things that you got on your own?
I don't remember. The electrical thing, I just figured out how you build a motor, so I got the wires and
right.
all that, and
yeah.
wound them all, and very excited when the thing worked. But it wasn't a major thing in my
right.
life.
Would you say that it was more your hiking and outdoor explorations?
Mm-hmm.
That and the voracious reading?
Yes.
And
that was the main thing that I did, yeah.
And could you tell me a bit about your pre-high school education? That was in the public schools in
yes.
Butler?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good, rigorous education. As I say, it was... designed for people who were not quite as rapid as I was, and
yes.
so it was, I learned the stuff that was moderately boring. I look back on it.
Were your teachers accommodating at
yeah.
all to that? They let you.
They as much as they
could.
It was it was not so much in grade school, which is a pretty regimented thing.
Sure.
For some reason in Butler at that time, you were admitted to school either in January or. It was two terms. It was
right.
a January term and a fall term. And I was started in the fall term in about, the third grade or so. They, for some reason, skipped me ahead half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And one incident I remember there, this was the half year where you learn to multiply from five on.
Right.
And so I just was given all this, and then I looked at the multiplication table and said to the teacher, why, when you multiply by nine, do the two numbers... that you get to add up to nine. And she sort of said, well, get back there and just memorize it. but I was thinking along that line then. And so I picked up that old,
right.
all this multiplication in a week, a couple of days or something.
And was it in high school that your attention turned more toward technical subjects, science, mathematics?
Yeah, I think so. I always enjoyed my science and math courses.
Right.
And I could see that I was more interested in the physics side of things.
Mm.
And just to step ahead, my father had seen something about this optics program at the University of Rochester, and he was discussing it.
So you're saying your father had heard about the optics?
Yeah, and that intrigued me, and I just decided that's what I wanted to do, go to Rochester and do that. I knew at that early time, I remember when I left the house to go to Rochester, I said to my father, I'm going to go to Rochester and then I'm going to go to MIT and get a PhD. So I had it all thought out.
Huh.
a very key thing that happened to me in high school was a chemistry teacher I had, Lucille Critchlow, who saw that I may have some promise, and there was a research laboratory in Butler run by a rather eccentric Englishman dealing with problems related to the glass industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does glass break? And the aim of this was, there were massive numbers of lawsuits connected with people getting injured by broken bottles.
Oh, okay.
And they, most of these people would say, I was just carrying these two things, they automatically just spontaneously exploded, and we could point out that they were hit, and we could document the fracture patterns. And
so he was doing sort of contract research?
Or contract generally, he had a lot of freedom because he was very valuable to the glass industry.
Right.
And Lucille Critchlow, when I graduated in January and had until the fall, and then she strongly recommended to Preston that he hire me. And I did, and here I was working with nearly everybody there was a PhD. And I said, this is a pretty good life.
Was Preston his first name or his last name?
Frank Preston.
Frank Preston.
Dr. Frank Preston, yeah.
And how big was his lab?
Oh, well, I would guess there were 25 people.
Oh, well, so 30
people. 30 people. They were manufacturing testing equipment for the glass manufacturing companies.
Right.
And doing a lot, as I said, a lot of law cases.
Mm.
And I worked for a physicist named Jay Glatthart. And he was a very likable guy and very friendly, and so I was, as I said, working for him, and I was given a lot of freedom to do things my own way.
Hmm.
So it was a very valuable experience for somebody just out of high school to be able to participate on a technical thing, and I wrote a minor technical paper, and I went to Ohio to the glass companies and discussed it with them.
In that period of time.
Yeah, and then I worked the whole way through college whenever I had free time. I summers or sometimes even in vacation I'd go back there and just keep working.
Hmm.
So I maintained very close relationships with Preston the rest of his life. He was a very interesting man.
How did he come to? You said he was an Englishman. How did he come to?
Butler had a couple of glass companies.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing plate glass. He came here as a consultant for them, decided he wanted to stay. He was extremely interested in birds.
Hmm.
And so he built a big compound out of a mile or so square out of town where he could study birds and have his laboratory.
Oh, wow.
So, but that was, it was a very interesting experience.
And did you, what were you doing in the summers during high school? Were you working or?
The summer between my junior and senior year, I'm 16, and I think I didn't quite weigh 100 pounds. And I couldn't get a job. So a friend of mine, I said, we'll hitchhike to California, which we did.
As a school friend? Or
one of my school friends. And we were in a play in high school together, and we started talking about this kind of a thing. And so we hitchhiked to California.
Well, what did your parents make of that? This
was interesting. My mother later said to me that, Jay, we couldn't give you much in the material way, but the thing we gave you was a chance to think for yourself.
Hmm.
Because I was always pushed into making decisions.
Huh.
My whole life, my mother said, well, you decide that. I said, no. So it was a strong push.
Interesting.
To make me a very independent person.
Huh.
And
to give you the freedom to make those
decisions. And so that was my decision, so...
There you go.
I don't think they were terribly... enchanted with the idea. But I prepared. I went to the chief of police and got a letter from him saying I wasn't running away from home, which I needed a couple times.
Right.
So I had all of that, hitchhiked to California and planned on picking fruit. We got here before the fruit season, so I was sort of living on a nickel's worth of carrots a day for a while there. And that also stood me in good stead later in my life when there's some difficult things. You say, well, look, I got through that when I was 16.
Right.
So this is not that bad a problem.
Did you go to Northern California?
I was in San Jose.
Okay.
I was right where I ended up. And San Jose at that time had something like 20,000 people. It was a little rural farm community.
Unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable rich agricultural area. It was just a marvelous place. And
how was your journey out and back?
I hitchhiked. It took about a week to get to California from Butler. Mm-hmm. Very interesting week. And I had a chance while I was there to go to Yosemite and do the mm-hmm. first climbing I'd ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting summer, and I obviously took a great liking to that area.
Yeah, and did you have you must have been interested in California beforehand. Did that come from reading or the general lure of the West?
Well, just the lure of the West. I thought, well, what can you do agriculturally? You could work with a wheat gang in Kansas or the Great Plains. That didn't sound like as much fun as going around picking fruit in California. So I did that, and I worked in a cannery for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've eaten apricot pie since. but it was, and I made enough money that I, by the end of the summer, I had enough to come home in luxury on the bus. So it was a great formative experience for me.
And your other summers were spent closer to home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reading.
Right.
And I know it was a period then when a rule I know I could have broken, except I didn't ask them to. So they say, I take out two books a day. So I go to the library in the morning, take my two books, have them read by the afternoon, and wait till the next day.
So very quick in reading.
Very quick.
Very quick.
Yeah.
And were you friends with the librarians? You must have been.
Not especially. No, I was. Authority was a little intimidating.
Okay.
Librarians can be especially.
They can, very much so.
I just went there quietly, took out my books, and read them.
And so you had a very important chemistry teacher during high school.
Yes.
Your other instruction in high school equally. Or
it was
satisfactory.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
I had one math teacher I didn't get along with, but that was for other reasons. But good physics instruction, good chemistry, very good chemistry instruction. Good humanities.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you participated in a school play.
Yeah.
Theater your main extracurricular activity, or one among many?
I didn't have too many organized. It was like on the school newspaper, or a little bit of plays and things mm-hmm. like that, but nothing very active. I was nothing athletic, mm-hmm. as I mentioned.
So. Right.
But, so it was pleasant enough high school experience. I would give the school pretty high marks for the way they did stuff.
Right. During the time that, I guess, almost, well, coextensive with your high school career was the war.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what sort of impact the war had on you, on the high school community, and on Butler.
Butler was a steel mill town,
so.
And my father went from not working at all on the Depression I don't think he took off a day during the war, the whole war. He took no vacations. He worked either 6 or 7 days a week steadily.
And the whole community must have been in a similar situation.
Yes. It was very geared toward war production. And, it's hard to realize without being there but how popularly accepted the war was, and everybody was behind it. Never had a phenomenon like that before or since in America. The country was completely united. And this was my father's duty, was to make steel.
And did...
I was a, the air raid thing, and I'd ride around my bicycle, and everybody in Butler thought would be bombed. And you had to keep your lights out.
Oh, really?
While there was a steel mill there that you could see.
Yeah, with
the 200 miles away. But everybody tried.
And the I would imagine the school was involved in, in efforts to collect things.
Paper drives and scrap metal drives. And
did the war touch your family in particular in any way?
No, I was with a generation where my father was just too young for the First War and too old for the Second. It was true. It was true of most of his relatives too. So we, nobody, we weren't touched personally.
And so, as did the place of, do you think that the place of the role that science and technology had in the war, with radar, the bomb, other developments, did that reach your consciousness? Do you remember? Is that formative in
any way? No, not that early. I mean, I had many opportunities to speculate afterwards, but at the time, there wasn't that much information
available. That's right.
I mean, all this stuff is very heavily classified.
Sure.
And you read an account of the atomic development programs, how secret that was. These huge towns that were... And Santa Fe now, there's a sign, this is the post office box where Los Alamos communicated with the world. This is amazing.
Well, once you had then, formulated your plan to study optics at Rochester and then make your way to MIT.
Before we get into that, there's one last thing I'll say about Presson, because it, it won't come up again.
Okay.
But I kept working for him, and when I got finished my PhD, Presson got a hold of me and said he was looking for a successor for his laboratory. He said, "Jay, you would be the obvious successor, and if you come to work for me, you just figure out what your entire education cost you, and if you come to work for me, I'll give you a check for it."
Well, very tempting offer.
I went and told my parents. My mother said, "Jay, you can do a lot better than that with your life. Get the hell out of this town."
Really?
So, it's an interesting thing to have happened.
She was very, I mean, it sounds like she was very encouraging of you to be a free thinker.
Yes.
And was she similarly free thinking herself? In her opinions on various subjects?
Yeah, she had a lot of them, and she was very outspoken and outgoing. My father was a more laid back and quiet, and I never heard him complain about anything in his life. He just did, this is what I'm supposed to do. That's what he did. He was did the best he could to support the family without any complaint or and working a steel mill is a pretty rough thing.
And physically, and also, I suppose, also rough
psychically, especially managing people, and
he was a minor, the first level of management.
Right.
And I learned after his death that he had some injustice had been happening to some people that he knew about. He went and complained to the high management, and they just put him on the zero advancement track after that.
Oh.